Good morning and welcome to the conference call of SIMPAR to discuss the earnings regarding the fourth quarter 2020. Today with us are Mr. Fernando Simões, CEO, and Denys Ferrez, CFO and IR officer. Right now, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later on, we are going to start the Q&A session when further instructions will be provided. Should any of you need assistance during the conference call, please reach the operator by pressing star zero. We would like to inform you that this conference call is being recorded and simultaneously translated into English. Before moving on, we would like to let you know that any statements made during the conference call relative to the company's business prospects, projections, operating, and financial goals are based on the beliefs and assumptions of SIMPAR's management and rely on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not a guarantee of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions since they refer to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. General economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors may affect the future results of the company and lead to results that will materially differ from those in such forward-looking statements. We'll now turn the call to Mr. Simões. Please, Mr. Simões, you may start. Good morning, everyone. We are starting the release of the earnings for the fourth quarter 2020, as well as the consolidated numbers for 2020. We would like to thank you all for attending. We are starting on page two. 2020 was transformational for SIMPAR and all its subsidiaries. The pandemic tested and proven the resilience and fundamental of our companies and evidenced the capacity of our managers. We did not lose focus on execution and quality of the service provided to our clients, preserving the health of our people. We closed the year with strong balance sheet in all our subsidiaries, which have their capital structures prepared to operate in markets of high potential growth, with lower financial costs and longer terms. We completed some of our projects strategic with impact on the sustainable value creation for SIMPAR shareholders. On page three, we give you some color on these movements that were crucial for the transformation of SIMPAR in 2020. We had our corporate restructuring in August 2020 when we created the SIMPAR Holding Company, and JSL Logistics no longer became as a holding, but rather focused on a logistics operation, being the largest road logistic company with the largest service portfolio in Brazil. JS Logistics had its IPO in September 20, in line with our strategic plans, and started a new cycle of growth and development, not only organic, but also inorganic, marked by the acquisition of Fadel, one of the leading urban logistics companies in Brazil, with more than 80% of its revenues coming from the food segment. We also, in October 2020, acquired Transmoreno, which is specialized in the shipment of brand new cars. CS Brazil is a company that revisited its portfolio of services and clients in recent years, focused more on fleet management and outsourcing, with a bit of growth of 18% year-on-year and margin of 49.3%, which means 10 percentage points above that of 2019. Also, it had annual growth by more than 14.8% year-on-year in fleet management and outsourcing, contributing to 83% of its EBITDA in 2020. And it also won the auctions of Aratu 12 and 19 port concessions in December 20, starting a new cycle. CS Brazil is now a company that will focus on opportunities for long-term concessions like Aratu Port 18, which is a 25 contract that then we expected up to 7 years, SES Fleet and Management and Outsourcing, focusing on the segment with large profitability, EBITDA margin, and net income. Now we are going to go to page four, where we present some of the financial highlights of the fourth quarter 2020 and the year of 2020 as a whole. We had in the fourth Q20 gross revenues of 3 billion reais, 3% above the same period last year. Gross revenue record of 10.9 billion in 2020, growth of 1.3% year-on-year. Adjusted EBITDA record of 700 million reais, growth of more than 14% year-on-year, with margin of 33.5% over the net income of the fourth quarter 2020. Also, adjusted EBITDA in 2020, record of 2.3 billion, growth of more than 9% year-on-year, with 33.4% margin over our net income. Also, we had adjusted net income of 215 million, which means 78% increase year-over-year, or 8.1% margin growth over net revenues. In 2020, in the whole of the year, we had adjusted net income of 522 million reais, plus 66.8% year-on-year, or 5.3% margin over net revenues for 2020. Our leverage, 3.6x in 2019, went to 3.5x in 2020, even with a net CapEx of 2.9 billion reais in the period. If we consider our bonds that were executed in the beginning of 2021, we extended our debt from 4.1 years average term to 8.5 years. These numbers make us very proud, and we feel very fortunate about the work and dedication of our team. These numbers show the effort and commitment and the organizational transformation that we had along the year of 2020. Now we are going to go to page five, where we show our organization structure today. SIMPAR, ready to support a new development cycle of our subsidiary companies with solid culture and values and people aligned with our values. As you can see, SIMPAR, all its six subsidiaries have major opportunities to grow organically or inorganically, and meeting the needs of those companies that want assets but don't want to have CapEx, or in the public sector that wants to improve its services. Original, that is a smaller but very complementary business with revenues and profits that are record this year. BBC, complementary and strategic to our activities by means of the digital account and leasing services to truckers, and Movida with a great potential of growth and transformation. Now I'm going to turn to Denys, that is going to give a bit more color about the financial and economic numbers of the companies. Please, Denys.
Good morning, everyone. On slide six, you see SIMPAR and the financial highlights of the fourth Q20 and year 2020. All our numbers are records, both in the year and in the quarter. It is right that the deliveries of the years have to do with our diversification and the high potential of all the industries in which we operate that have in terms of development. I'm going to focus on the results for the fourth quarter. In this quarter, net revenues total 2.6 billion, and service revenues specifically 2 billion reais, with a growth of 8% compared to the same period last year. EBITDA totaled in the quarter 700 million reais, margin of 33.5%, an improve of 2 percentage points year-on-year, and a nominal increase of 15% in EBITDA. Operational income had a similar behavior with 426 million reais, a nominal evolution of 26% quarter-on-quarter, with margin of 20.4%, an improvement of 3 percentage points. Net income finally totaled 215 million reais in the quarter, net margin of 8.1%, evolution of 3.5 percentage points in the margin, and nominal values for the fourth quarter 2020 was 78% above that of the same quarter last year. Now I'm going to go to the next page where we talk about our indebtedness, consolidated pro forma. And why pro forma? Because here we are including all the issuances of sustainable bonds that the group executed in the months of January and February. That is Simpar with the first bond that is collected in sustainability in the industry, in the world, with a maturity date of 10 years bullet. Movida also with the first SLB of the car rental industry in the world, $500 million, also to mature in 10 years, 2031. And Simpar, once again in February, issued the first SLB in reais, settled in dollars from Brazil in the amount of R$400 million, maturity in 7 years, that is 2028. If we consider the management of liabilities of January and February, what are our numbers like in terms of liquidity? The company has very high liquidity to face any adversity with the new pandemic wave, with R$10 billion in liquidity that covers our maturities up to 2024, and that makes our average term of the net debt goes from 4.1 to 8.5 years. And our leverage indicators continue completely under control. We have three different indicators. The first is net debt EBITDA, 1.7 times, maximum 3.5. This is the concept of maintenance and use locally. The second, EBITDA added over net interest, that reads 13.95 times. The minimum is 2. Also in the concept of maintenance, also used locally. And the overseas bonds, that is net debt over EBITDA, 3.5 times. Our covenant maximum is 4 times, but here the concept is incurrence. And we take a look at the average cost of net debt after tax. You see that in the end of 2019, we had a cost of approximately 6%, and we closed 2020 with 3.1%. I'd like to enjoy this moment to say that the company, whenever it prices its operations in contracts that are on average 5 years, is always looking at the future interest curve. So we had recent volatility in the market, but I would like to tell you what we have been using. So today we are using a pre-interest rate of about 11%. If you go back, how much we were using, for instance, in June 2020, we were using something about 9.5 to 10%. So despite the volatility and expectations of increase in the short term, this is included in our pricing. And the contracts in which we have the rental of long-term assets and others, then we have formulas that enable us to pass on decrease of costs of operations to keep our margins from beginning to end of contract. We have been operating like this for more than 60 years, a period in which Brazil has shown to be inflationary most of the time rather than stable. So we have the discipline and the knowledge, and that's how we have been operating a long time, which has been enabling us to grow in any scenario. Now I'm going to go to the page 8, where we talk about investments, both in 4Q20 and the year of 2020. On the left, we have the breakdown by asset type. So in the fourth quarter 20, net investment was 1.5 billion. Remember, net CapEx is gross CapEx minus sales in the period. And the annual number was net investment of 2.9 billion reais. Just to emphasize, both in the next sort of quarter and year, investments are light vehicles, trucks, and tractors that have a very strong secondary market. And not only that, our asset base, more than 95%, is completely unencumbered. On the right, we break down the profile of how we allocate the CapEx. And this snapshot confirms what we have been saying in the quarter and the year. The main consumers of capital are, in this order, Movida, Vamos, and CS Brasil. I'd like to highlight here in the annual numbers, JSL with only 154 million reais in net CapEx, showing that this is a company that is mostly asset light in its operating profile. Altogether, net CapEx in the year 2022, 2.9 million, was above, despite COVID, the investments of 2019, showing the strength of the industries in which we operate. With that, I'm going to go to slide number 9 when we talk about return on leverage. Starting on top left, we have an ROIC in subsidiaries for 2020, and clearly BBC Original, CS Brasil, and Vamos were a rock in the period. Even JSL Logistics and Movida still showed strong numbers given the circumstances of the pandemic, with returns of 7%, 8%. If you go to the right, when you see Simpar ROIC, despite the year had 7.5% ROIC, I would like to say that annualized for Q20, we had a percentage above 10% that we have as a target for all our businesses, and obviously for our consolidated numbers. Leverage of subsidiaries, as you can see the bottom left part, is completely under control, below our caps, which makes the companies prepared to grow. Remember, Vamos is 3x, but that's before the IPO of February, and Original and BBC have net cash position, that is no net debt. Without leverage of Simpar ended the year of 2020 with 3.5x, keeping our commitment of gradually, year after year, reduce our leverage with a target of going below 3x net debt EBITDA ratio. Now we are going to page 10, and I give you the operating and financial highlights of the subsidiaries. All our companies that have already presented their results, our public companies, but I'm going to start with JSL. Gross net income of 37 million reais, +18% year-on-year. Also I would like to mention the strong pace of implementation of this strategy to acquire companies. Not only Fadel and Três Moreno that took place in 2020, but new acquisitions of TPC and Rodomil. All them together would add approximately 1.1 billion in revenues to the existing base, which is about 30% growth. That is a transformation to be naturally delivered by consolidating these numbers in 2021. Vamos. Vamos showed a backlog of 3.1 billion reais, an increase of 44%, the close of 2019. If we were to get the behavior of the backlog of 2017-2018 and 2018-2019, we had approximately 25%. This clearly shows an acceleration of growth, which is something that we believe strongly. EBITDA totaled 177 million reais, 28% above year-on-year, and 638 million in 2020, an increase of 21%. All this growth respecting profitability. Movida, in the rent-a-car business, occupancy rate reaching record levels of 80%, fleet management and outsourcing also with a record in daily rentals, and used car sales with growth in the average ticket with a record of 50,000 reais per car. We have very high hopes for the rent-a-car market, especially for Movida in 2021 and the years to come. To carry on with the highlights of the companies, I'm going to the next page 11, starting with CS Brasil. Remember that CS Brasil had proportional debt allocated in the end of 2019. The last quarter of 2019,
It became a company that it was a company that had practically no debt, and we allocated the right debt in the right company. And the company had relevant transformation in its operating results by changing its service portfolio, divesting in some operations of passenger transportation that we excluded the results of the sale that took place in the end of 2019. And focusing on fleet management and outsourcing for companies that are controlled by the public sector or directly public companies in long-term contracts up to 5 years. So this company evolved more than 40% in the year in terms of operating income. And if you compare to 2018, it grew twofold. So a real change in the portfolio management. And also in the end of the year, it started a new path of expansion by exploring concessions in existing operations, winning the bids of the ports of Aratu. This is a concession that involves an operation that will give us resilient revenues, long-term contracts that can reach up to 70 years long, and that brings our vocation of providing services to service and can generate businesses with logistics in the inbound and outbound of goods that are shipped from Aratu. Original, one of the largest dealerships in the country. Our people have had excellent results. The main brand we work with is Volkswagen, that has a product very well accepted by clients with higher tickets, higher margins, and delivering a return on invested capital that is fantastic, about 27% in the last quarter annual numbers. And here, it's still embryonic. We have a BBC leasing and digital account that tries to enjoy the synergies in the whole of the system in which we operate as a group. And within our strategic plan, BBC will have a very important role in the future. With that, I'm going to turn the call back to Fernando. Fernando, thank you, Dennis. Now, starting on page 12, I always say that we are very fortunate about everything we do and everything we have done. But more important, our greatest joy is to have a lot more to do than what was done before. And this slide on page 12 shows the beginning of 2021. In starting 2021, Movida acquired Vox, a company with 1,800 cars that is small, but is extremely strategic in the industry and in the level of relationship with current clients. We had Vamos IPO, primary funding 890 million, and secondary funding of 515 million. Also, in line with our strategic plan, JSL Logistics acquires TPC, which is a major logistics operator focused on warehousing and the logistics of pharmaceuticals. We also had the bonds of Simpar and Movida that was part of our strategic plan to extend our debt and reduce financial costs. We announced to the market that we are assessing integrating CS Frotas by Movida. We are going to do that with the highest level of governance after evaluation of independent members, both of Movida and Simpar. If it is decided to go on with the next steps, we are going to ask the opinion of Movida's minority shareholders, and we will follow the votes of the minority shareholders. That is, we always want to have the highest level of governance with the best relationship possible with our shareholders. JSL Logistics also acquired Rodomeu, which makes it possible for us to go into the transportation of gas and also logistics transportation of machinery, construction, and farming equipment. On page 13, we talk about some of the strategic opportunities that we have in our subsidiaries.
quite humbling and without creating expectations. We are very happy about what we have already accomplished, but all our investments have opportunities for growth and transformation, not only in terms of size, but also in terms of margins. JSL Logistics has huge potential of growth, organic and inorganic, to capture synergies and improve margins. Remember, today we have less than 0.8% of market share in the Brazilian logistics market. Vamos, the largest heavy asset rental company in Brazil, prepared for a new cycle of growth. Movida, as you all know, has major opportunities of growth, replacing as people replacing buying assets by renting assets, as it has happened in the world, and in Brazil, it's just starting. CS Brazil, as we mentioned, a company today that focuses on fleet management outsourcing to public, private, and public companies, and now going into the operation of long-term concessions with resilience of revenues as the ports started to 12 and 18. Original, a smaller business, extremely complementary to our service portfolio, that has been having record profits in recent quarters. And BBC, our financial service company, the digital account and leasing, that is not only complementary to our business, but it also contributes to the loyalty of truckers with JSL Logistics. That's it. I would like to once again thank you for joining us, and myself and Dennis are open for any questions you might have. Thank you. We are now going to start the Q&A session. To ask a question, press star one. To withdraw your question from the list, press star two. Our first question comes from Victor Mizusaki from Bradesco.
Hello, good morning, everyone. I have two questions. The first, as you mentioned in your presentation and in the press release, now in the balance sheet of the first quarter, we are going to have the impact of the issuance of bonds. A cash position of over 10 billion and the capacity of paying your debt up to 2024, and it's still the positive impact of Vamos IPO. My question is, given the scenario in your balance sheet that is super flexible, does it open room for the group to increase investments and have higher capital allocation in 2021? And if so, could you give us a bit more color about what you're looking at in terms of capital allocation by company, which companies would have the highest investments in 2021? And the second question, the operation between CS Frotas and Movidas. When are we to expect the final proposal that is going to be analyzed by Movidas minority shareholders? Thank you very much.
Good morning, Victor. This is Fernando. I'm going to start answering your questions, and then Dennis is going to complement the answer. Well, Victor, today, if you take a look at the company with the capital that we have, perhaps we have even more liquidity than we would like right now. But you know, we also have our strategy. The idea was really to change the tenure of our debt, change our cost, and therefore bring new gains for the company. In addition, having more liquidity, not that much, is part of our strategy. So all our companies are quite balanced in terms of capital structure. They are developing, they have their business plans. Then the idea is to continue this development by means of acquisitions, organically, but all of them are prepared for that. So we are going to work in a responsible manner with all the adversities that we have, the coronavirus, the economy, but we are ready to go through
any problem, although we do not foresee any, and are also open to opportunities. This is how we have operated, and this is our objective. Capital allocation, well, all companies are prepared to continue to develop. I'm going to turn to Denys, and then I'll talk about CS Brazil. Yes, I would just like to say is that as part of this liquidity, we want to preserve, the comfort of the company. And also, we want to settle those debts that were a bit more expensive. We already settled more than 1 billion reais in the fourth quarter, advanced payment, and now we can also do that in the first quarter with another 500 million reais to optimize carry-on costs. But the idea is to be very solid to develop our business. I'll get back to Fernando. And Vitor, when you talk about CS Frotas, what is important to say? We have always had all respect by minority shareholders and the market, acting as transparently as possible. In the case of Simpar, we announced what we would do. We put that to vote. We said we would follow the minority shareholders, and so we did. With CS Frotas, we are following the same line and culture of transparency. When you started to think that we, as shareholders of CS Frotas and Movida, thought this would make sense, we announced it to the market as a possibility. So we are looking inside very deeply. It's not really that we are just guessing. We wanted to put ourselves in the shoes of Movida to understand what is fair in terms of values and everything within the highest governance. And then this is going to be submitted to minority shareholders to assess, and as soon as they have decided something, we are going to have two members from Movida to co-run with the valuation. And if it is to be announced by the market, once again, we are going to follow the votes of the minority shareholders. We have no need to do things fast. We don't have to make this movement. We are really making all steps very cautiously with responsibility to really, keep the trust of the shareholders of Simpar that has huge possibilities of improve its results, as well as Movida. No other competitor has, what we have in Movida, so we want to seek the best for the two companies if it's possible and if it is to happen. But again, the phase that we are now is valuation to give more information to the independent members of Simpar and then Movida to take a look. And along the way, things can change, and we are going to let you know. This is an important asset for Simpar, but we are going to keep you informed as we move along. But we are active looking into that, and we are going to have more color in that. And Fernando, if you allow me, I would like to say this question also came on the web. And again, all the steps that Fernando mentioned, the final approval is going to happen at the level of the Movida minority shareholders. They are the ones to make the decision. And Simpar is going to follow the decision of these shareholders for us not to have any problems, any complaints, and again, within the best governance possible. I have a follow-up about that. Think about CS Brazil. We also have a part of heavy assets without driver operations. Would it make sense to make the same movement between CS Brazil and Vamos? Well, Vitor, today, CS has four different fronts. You have CS that almost has a holding part. Then you have light vehicles, and this is we are talking about. It has less than 150 trucks without drivers. It's a very small number of trucks. So it will either just stop, working with the services that will be carried alone, and then it will stop, or it goes to Vamos. But the volume is very insignificant in the context as a whole. It's very, very small. The greatest growth and development of this market has to do with light assets. You're talking about the public, private companies, energy. They all use cars, not really trucks. So this is what we think is going to happen. What CS has of heavy assets, then it is services, drivers, in a completely different corporate taxpayer number. It has nothing to do with the CS Frota operations. Okay, thank you very much. It makes sense.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Eloisa Cruz. You may go on.
From Stoxus. Good morning and congratulations on your results. I have two questions. The first is that I have the impression that you sold a bit less trucks as a percentage of the fleet. I would like to know if the truck market is having a bit more trouble in terms of purchases, the fleet is getting a bit older. And second, if you could tell us what would happen with your debt if interest rates start to go up in Brazil, if you have any kind of protection.
Okay, before turning to Dennis, Eloisa, I'm going to talk a bit of trucks. Well, you saw us selling less. It's because our trucks are working and we have less assets to sell. That is why we are not selling less because we are having difficulties. We are selling less because we are using them. This is about a part of our plan, and we have less trucks to sell now. Our inventory of assets to be sold, and I'm talking about Vamos and JS Logistics, has never been so low as in the fourth quarter 2020. As for purchases, and then once again, when you talk about our businesses and competitors, we have a unique positioning in terms of relationship of OEMs. I relate to OEM for 30 years. So what do I want to tell you? We were the first to buy lots of trucks in May, June, when no one else was buying. And so we bought a lot more from then on, and most of our fleet is purchased and planned up to 2022. So we are very comfortable, not only in terms of supply, but in terms of competitive prices because of our scale and position. So we are very comfortable in terms of purchases and sales, not to mention the valuation of our assets that were really incredible. So we had a very good year in this regard. But Dennis is going to tell you a bit more about your second question.
Hello, Eloisa. Thanks for your question. Your question also has to do with a question that we got from Bruce on the web that talks about the impact of interests. Well, talking about the two questions in a single answer, I would tell you the following. For more than 60 years, most of the time, the group has worked in an inflationary environment with interest rates much higher than what we have today. What has protected us along the year? We have a model of pricing and contracts that protect us to always be adjusted to new economic realities. So, in terms of pricing, we always project a future curve of interests. I'll give you as an example. We were pricing for 5-year contracts today, and they are with a cost of 11%. Now, in June 2020 or even June 2019, that varied by 1.5 percentage points of difference. So along the years, we have been very disciplined in projecting future interest rates. In addition to that, our contracts have triggers to pass on prices in the case of Vamos, for instance, and also in the case of logistics. Logistics, the group started with logistics, and part of, its indebtedness comes from the purchase of assets. But we can pass on prices, inflation rates, and also other parameters. What are these parameters? We have a precision of the costs of operations so that we can always keep our margin along the time of the contract. If it weren't for that, we wouldn't have gotten here or developed in years of so much volatility Brazil went through. Most specifically, if you think how much a 1 percentage point means for the company, that is basically 50 million reais. So what do I mean? When I focus on the first quarter, you take a look at our operating results, we had an expansion of margin of 3 percentage points. Our budget process does not believe that the interest rate is going to be kept at 2%. We do estimate important evolutions of our profitability, though, by means of growth, by means of projection of contracts, but also protecting ourselves by any impact that may have. Remember that the interest rate is used to manage inflation, and everything that I described to you protects us from inflation, in essence. And furthermore, if you think of the shock of supply that we are having in the post-pandemic period, lots of people had installed capacity, so there is a short-term trend before things go back to normal. So it was kind of expected. But there is a counterpart inside the company because of the profile of our assets. Light vehicles, trucks, and tractors are items with a high secondary market. They did have a shock of supply, and there was a change in price, but our asset base was completely valued because of that, and is presenting results above expected. And that offsets any short-term shock that you have. I hope I haven't extended myself too much, but I hope I have approached all the points. And just to complement what Dennis mentioned, in addition to everything, with all due respect, we have lived it all in Brazil. And how have we gone through? With resilience of revenues, and we not only survived, but transformed the company when, 15, 16 interest rates were at 14, 15. And you can say, okay, you transformed and grew, but you don't have the results that we would like. It's true. But what was changed now? We are not building anything any longer. Our bases are ready. All the CapEx that we mentioned has already been executed. Now we have to execute the improvement of our transformation with better results, also regardless of the financial costs that we have because of the structure that we have in place today. Thank you. Thank you. And congratulations for your results. Our next question
comes from Victor Mizusaki from Bradesco BBI.
Thanks. I just have one final question in terms of capital allocation. In the beginning of the year, you had a buyback. Given the cash of 10 billion that you have now, does it make sense to have another buyback?
Well, Victor, quite modestly, we believe a lot in our business, and how we are positioned. Our business is not buyback shares, but when we have options, they should always be analyzed when we believe in the generation of values. It depends on what is going to happen in the market. It would be irresponsible to answer yes or no, because we don't know what it is to come. Things are worth what people pay. We believe that we are very devalued, and we have not even started to show the results of this new cycle of growth. It depends on what is going to happen, Victor. I will not rule out the possibility, but I'm not saying yes. We are paying attention to everything, to this, but also to other opportunities to generate value to shareholders.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Victor.
As a reminder, if you have a question, just press star one. To withdraw your question from the queue, press star two. Please wait while we collect the questions. Our next question comes from the webcast. I'm going to read the questions that we got just to try to cover them all. We have some. First comes from Renato, and the question is the following: What is the business view for JSL, particularly with regards to sustainability, and how do you see the electric car market for the next 5 years?
Okay. First, postal services that you mentioned. We are going to take a look at the model of the bids, how it is going to be like. Quite humbly, we don't even know if we can take part. I don't know if it's going to be asset light. It may be that the postal services are a great opportunity, and we, as a large logistics operator, have responsibility to take a look at that. We have been contacted by large players to be part of that. We have to see if we have the capacity to be part of that, and also to know if this is good for Brazil, if we can have a transformation for shareholders, if it is something that is good in terms of structure, and it has sustainability in the relationship of clients and everyone that is involved in the operation. That's it. It certainly is going to be a great opportunity, and we have the obligation to take a look at that, not forgetting our capital structure that we have been sharing with the market. That is, we'll always keep the capital structure in line with our commitments and seeking the best returns, and that can be to postal services or to any other kind of business. We're always looking into opportunities. Electric cars and sustainability in Brazil. I believe in electric cars. I don't know how long it will take. I think there is a bridge to be crossed, and this is the hybrid car first, before the electric car. Electric cars, purely, we still lack infrastructure. That will take time. I'll give you an example. If you go to the North Shore of São Paulo, you have one station to supply, and it takes 5 hours for you to charge the car. You have to wait 5 hours. Hybrid cars are different. They can run on fuel and on electricity. I think it is important for Brazil and for the world, and I think is something that Movida has been led to this initiative. It was the first company to invest in 100% electric cars. And infrastructure, it is working with infrastructure in large centers, in its stores, to really offer this to its clients and companies that value more and more this. And even JSL had a business with drivers and services to a major client of us with electric cars. So we are contributing and focusing on sustainability, and electric car is just one more initiative. And Vamos also has projects with their clients. So we are going to walk hand in hand with our clients, perhaps using the hybrid car right now.
Carrying on with the questions from the web. Now we have a question from Danielle. Thank you, Danielle. The first question is the following. Is it possible to have a merger between Original and Movida that could be the strengthening of muscle to face competition with OEMs? Another question. Is there a possibility of establishing partnerships with OEMs to have customized products? Danielle, very quickly, I'll try to be more objective to my answer. It's not part of our plan to merge Movida and Original. People have asked us a lot. You know, whenever people ask us the question, we analyze it, but we don't think this is the moment. It is not clear that dealerships are going to be used to rent cars. So we think that Movida has a very important action in fleet management and outsourcing. We don't think that it needs Original now. You have synergies, but this is not that we think that makes sense now. It's not our focus now. When you talk about alliances with OEMs, we're always open to continue development transformations, open to OEMs and clients. And no doubt, Movida only survived because it had alliances with major OEMs. Because, you know, there was a lot of pressure for us not to have cars in 15, 16, 17. And our alliance made us not only have cars, but have unique cars, like Hyundai, for instance. And Movida has this perception of young, of innovation. It has done that with electric cars, as I mentioned before. And there are several launches that take place in Movida. And Movida markets that and uses that together with OEMs for clients to value the cars that are being launched. So we have several alliances with OEMs, and we want to continue strong for the future, translating for more advantages to our clients. Carry on with webcast questions. We have another comes from Anderson. Anderson, thanks for the question. Fernando. Does CS Brazil want to focus on railroad concessions? Remember that it also took part in bridge bids. That's interesting. CS has been looking into concessions. Remember the opportunities that CS has a holding, that CS Brazil, and under it has several business. One, fleet management and outsourcing with services, trucks, and etc., drivers. Second, fleet management and outsourcing of light vehicles, as we mentioned, that is more than 75-90% of its revenues. It's a mix of Movida and MAMS, long-term contracts, but with drivers and maintenance included. The third business is passenger transportation that practically is close to zero, 10% of its revenues, due to the transformation of the portfolio that we had, leaving the segment of more stability to focus in others. And then we have the assessment of concessions, as you saw in the Aratu port. So you're not going to see CS Brazil to have CapEx for 4 or 5 years and then have revenues. But infrastructure that is focused on services, as it was the bridge. In the bridge, we had no CapEx. It was revenues. It's fixed income, and we took part in that. So how are we going to do that? As we do in everything, take care with prices, as Denys mentioned, to improve our capital structure, and that we have the capacity to add services, and that CapEx a long time is appealing. If we have a concession of this kind, no matter what it is, we can take a look, but also always as a bridge with safe returns. We didn't win, but they say that we prefer to be conservative than aggressive, and this is what we are going to do and how we are going to see opportunities for the future with discipline of capital. We took part in the port, and it was a great business. Just to add, if you take a look since the beginning of CS Brasil, it always tried to be in businesses with contracts and long-term relationships. It started with passenger transportation, with visibility of revenues that is very resilient and suitable return. CS Participações, since it started, has had this characteristic. So Fernando, what he's doing is basically confirming its vocations of operating in businesses with these characteristics. Fernando, I'm going to carry on with the internet questions. Now we are going to the next one. Comes from Rodrigo. Rodrigo, thanks for your question. What's your perception about the production of brand new heavy assets? Can we have a bottleneck of growth in Vamos? Rodrigo, this is Fernando. My perception, we want to continue growth from 2021. Perhaps we are not going to be able to execute the plan exactly as planned. Perhaps we have a 15%-20%. Vamos has no bottlenecks. It bought a significant amount that will ensure the execution of its contracts from now on. What are the contracts that you're considering for the future? Well, sometimes you have the renewal of these assets. Today, we have more than 11,000 trucks that are rented, and we can advance a change of fleet if we don't rent. So we are sure and guaranteed regardless of what happens in the industry as a whole. Moving on, I'm going to answer the next question. The question comes from Daniel. Daniel, thanks for your question. If we can talk about the new Selic, FIDC. Well, FIDC is seen as one more increase for the group's flexibility and its strategic movement. It's going to be part of our portfolio of flexibility of several products that we enjoy. The market to individuals with more structured institutional markets of debentures, and also getting to the external market, not only with the issuance of bonds abroad, but also showing that our financial flexibility is being reinforced with this alternative, which is FIDC. Daniel, this is Fernando. This is in line with our strategic plan. We are always paying attention about what we can do, respecting the governance of each company, but contributing to our results, having avenues of growth and transformation of our business. I'm going to put together some questions. We have a question from Daniele and Vitor once again, and Romeo. Okay. Are we going to have a major acquisition to come in the group? This is Daniele, and then Vitor. how long the company believes it will be able to absorb all possible synergies with the new acquisitions.
Well, when you talk about acquisitions, you have CS Frotas, Movida is considering that. We talked about that. Now, the company that has major possibility of acquisitions is JSL Logistics. And in the profile of the market, you can see that in the last 6 months, we acquired revenues of 1.1 billion, which is more than 30% of what we had in JS Logistics. So these will be the next acquisitions. Two have not been approved by the antitrust agency yet, but will ensue. So can we have major acquisitions? Yes. In logistics, Fadel, for instance, was a company that cost 500 million. It is a major acquisition, one of the largest urban distribution companies in Brazil. And you have others with the volumes that you saw happening now. When you talk about synergy, well, you can expect that altogether we are going to have acquisitions that are inorganic by JSL Logistics, and these movements happening in the coming months that are part of our strategic movement. And synergy, you are not, you know, in front of someone that, you know, wants to buy just for the sake of it. We don't buy anything that has no value. We buy operations companies that have value. So some of the companies are not going to be merged, but the synergy of inputs, of people, of infrastructure without merging the company is something that you're going to see in the coming quarters within 2021, for sure. And on a continuous basis, this is going to be an ever-present process. Again, without having to merge, without putting an end to the companies, but seeking the best of each one of them.
Next question comes from Ernesto.
Thanks for your question, Ernesto. The question is, could you talk about the merger Localiza Unidas? If the antitrust agency decides to create mediations, would Movida be interested in the assets that were not consolidated in the merger?
Ernesto, let me tell you the following. I don't know what can be said or what cannot be said, what is public, what is not public. Movida is dealing that and not Simpar. It's not even Movida, it's the offices that have been hired for the analysis. I'm going to talk as a shareholder and as a Brazilian. In the companies we have, we never chose competition, which is the client and the segment in which we want to operate. So we don't really have a concern about what will happen to them. We, even to respect the market and what Movida represents, this is a movement, you know, to take a look at something that is our obligation. But as a client, if you take a look at the past, the amount that was the daily rental, the fleet that Brazil offered, and how clients were treated before Movida existed, it shows that, to me, as Brazilian, competition is good for everyone, with better services, with more employment. So we believe that the market has to be open. The more players, the better. Looking into assets, if it's going to be approved or not, if we have the opportunity or not, Movida today has two competitors. If it's approved, it will have one. It doesn't matter. In logistics, we have 200,000. So we are okay. And the more players, the better the market, the more clients, the more production for users, clients, Brazils, OEMs, and also for those that buy used cars, because you have, you know, more options. Consolidation, I think, is a problem for any market. I don't know what's going to happen. We trust the CADE, the Brazilian justice, and let's see what is best for Brazil and for all of us Brazilians. I will suggest, Dennis, to have two more questions if that's the case, and if not, we can answer on, you know, by email, just to stick to the time.
Okay, I'm going to give an objective question to Eduardo. What is the annual revenue for the ports from CS Brasil in maturity, as soon as the initial investment is going to be between R$250 million-R$300 million a year? Next question. The two last questions, really. One comes from Caio. Thanks, Caio, for your question. And Fernando, is there a possibility of spin-off the utilities arm of CS Brasil to open a new business line in Simpar and enjoy the infrastructure market in Brazil? Sanitation, roads. Okay, in CS Brasil, we have been looking into possible infrastructure opportunities. We are not going to, do away with our capital structure. We want to deleverage the company, as we mentioned before. We are going to take a look at things that have little CapEx and that do depend in a good sense or contribute to the lives of our clients, making them more loyal. If we can have that, then we can look at any kind of business with resilience of revenues and long-term contracts, and that meet our DNA of services. Thank you. That was the last question. Now, in the last decade, we increased your EBITDA by 7 times. Localiza, 3.3 times its EBITDA. It would be possible to grow at this rhythm in the next decade. Will JSL be the largest growth of the company? Well, we are going to close. We now got some more questions. It's good that we are getting questions, but we are going to answer the final question now, okay? I thank Danny that in addition to answering questions, he's also asking them. Okay. Let me tell you something. I don't like to compare to anyone what we do or what we don't. Year on year, quarter on quarter, we are building our company and we have a plan of strong growth. I don't know if it's going to be the same of the past or not. What I think is that our position compared to some competitors, and Localiza you mentioned, is quite different. We are now a pure holding company with diversification of subsidiaries, resilience of revenues, and I'm not saying that we are going through a market of euphoria, but it is a market that we have services to several segments. If you don't know where you came from, you don't know where you're going. So I think this is a question for you to answer. If you take a look at our history, and I never really stopped to do that, and you take a look at the quarter we had, even with the coronavirus year on year, I think you can know what we can grow for the future. And remember, in the years you mentioned, we were building and transforming Vamos, Movida, changing the portfolio of services of CS Brasil, creating the holding, and separating JSL. So, really, to make sense to have all independent companies. So, I think you should answer your question to think of what we can do for the future. And talking about future and going to our closing and perhaps even more tools, we started 21 prepared for a new second in a unique way, different from anything before. In JSL, we are talking about organic growth. We have been changing the portfolio of JSL, going to commodities. We have acquisitions to make. We have been talking about that. This is part of our portfolio, due diligence and everything. And we have a fragmented market and a huge potential to growth. We have today less than 0.8%
in a market with 500 billion reais in revenues. In the United States, and we are more than double the second. The United States, the largest logistic company, has about 10% of the market share. That shows the potential of logistics, and we are just starting this new cycle with logistics. When you talk about Movida, a market of great potential. Everyone wants to rent cars. Everyone wants to rent a car. Lots of people are renting cars now. This is good. It's good for the market. That's why I mentioned in the past that it's good not to have consolidation, especially when it is a consolidation that wants to kill smaller players. People tried to kill us in the past, but the smaller ones can be killed. Movida, our people, our clients, our alliances with OEMs can really enjoy growth in the future. Vamos, records over records with a unique positioning, not because it is the largest rental, but it has the brand new dealership, the used assets dealership, the Volta tractor network, the best tractor in the world for agribusiness. It's a unique transformational position, and it has not even started. Because it has grown, but it hasn't started selling its assets. When it does, you're going to see the magnitude of its growth. You saw that in light vehicles, but not in Vamos. Yes, Brazil, we talked about its positioning with huge opportunities, Original with record results, and in the future, we can have some minor adjustments, but we learned how to have results even in an adverse market by correcting errors, adjusting costs, and keeping on doing what we do good. To close, BPC today is a small company, but has potential to really integrate to our ecosystem, contributing to truckers, funding, which is something impressive in terms of potential. What I expect with all that we are seeing, the transformation, our numbers in revenues for the future, answering Claudio in closing, but also improving our margins, training our people more and more, and attracting talents that remember our people, our major difference. Today, we have six subsidiaries, and we are focusing on the improvement and transformation of them all. The foundation is now ready, and now we are going to grow, respecting our capital structure. On behalf of our team, I would like to close. We have more than 200 people attending this call today live. I would like, on behalf of all of us, and we are talking about our people now, to thank you all, to thank the market that has contributed and is contributing to our work for us to enjoy moments like this today. We believe that we have your credibility, and our team works very hard. I thank you on behalf of our suppliers, clients, board members, and I could not close by giving special thanks to our employees and family members. Last year was a year of transformation. Now you know what happened, but no one knew what was going to happen. Our team worked day and night to have the transformation, but keep our day-to-day operations. We are much more committed with a much higher alliance with our clients and everyone. We are very proud of that. We knew our team. We knew that it could happen, but we were tested. I thank all of them, the efforts of our employees, how they contributed to our history, and in recent months of the pandemic, contributing to society by means of our logistics services. Thank you all very much. On behalf of them all, we thank you and my family that also has been fantastic, supporting and motivating me to be here with you. The best of all, we are
encouraged to continue generating value to our shareholders, and we believe, Claudio, we are just in the beginning of the cycle. Once again, thank you very much. Be with God, and we are going to get a lot further. Thank you.
Thank you. SIMPAR's conference call is now closed. We thank you very much for attending and wish you a very good afternoon.